The following paid program is furnished by Dr. Steve Pettirudi. It's for basic entertainment and informational purposes only and is solely responsible for its content. It does not necessarily reflect the views of Cumulus Media, its management, or its staff. News Talk 630 and 99.7 FM WPRO presents Intellectual Medicine with Dr. Pettirudi. Join Dr. Pettirudi as he guides people towards living the 120 lifespan while retaining youth. He'll apply logic, reason, and scientific evidence to address conditions that drain people of their joy and vitality while protecting people from the harmful aspects of conventional medicine. Now, here's Dr. Steve Pettirudi.
Good morning, everybody. It's Dr. Steve Pettirudi. Thank you for tuning in to Intellectual Medicine here on WPRO. You know, Nick, I was just talking with Steve Klampkin, and he was enlightening me on some of the history of radio and the fact that we are one of the last outposts of independent opinion and local voices in the nation. Did you know that?
I think we're down to like four live and local stations in the entire country, and we're one of them.
How about that?
That's amazing.
You know, I got to thank you folks for listening because we are intellectual medicine and you are intellectual listeners. And by that, I mean having a capacity to take information, analyze it, and apply it. And we're going to talk today about the overall basis upon which we have built the intellectual medicine movement and why it exists. And I'm going to answer to some of our critics as well. And before we leave this hour, we're going to highlight, well, some of the important pieces of information that have come across my eyes recently. We'll be talking about recommendations for colon cancer screening. Why is it different in Canada than in the U.S.? We're going to talk about how fat, excess fat, can shrink your brain. New research out there. And whether or not you should take a calcium as a supplement. There is research indicating that it may actually increase dementia. And two of the most dangerous prescription drugs that are commonly utilized that you should think hard before you take. So all of those topics we'll touch upon over the course of today. But first, Nick, Happy New Year, my friend. How's the holiday week been for you?
It's been pretty good. I can't complain.
Yeah, it's been I was up at Lake Placid with four of my sons where we did a bobsled run. And we skied Whiteface Mountain where the Olympics were in 1980. We saw the miracle on ice. Does that mean anything to you, Nick?
Yes, it does.
See, that you weren't even born then, but it still has resonance, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Become a real cultural icon. And we skated on the Olympic oval that Eric Heiden skated on, the big oval that they do speed skating on.
Yeah.
It's fascinating, the culture up there. You know, the folks up there do speed skating as a hobby. They'll just go out there and just fly around that rink with those crazy long skates on. It was pretty exciting, just the whole sort of essence of being there. Bobsled run was very cool. There are people who dedicate. As we speak, there are people at Lake Placid who are doing nothing but training for the next Olympics, Winter Olympics, with hope. We met a couple of kids on a chairlift, and their goal is to be mogul skiers. And they are in a program, they're high school kids, where they live on camp. They live up there at Lake Placid. They are independent students, they're homeschooled. And every day, you know, throughout the year, they're training to be mogul jumpers. It's just an interesting culture. For those of you that like winter sports, it's worth the trip up there.
Every time I think of Lake Placid, I think of the movie. So I'm kind of already scared of it.
Yeah, the people are very, very nice. We stayed at an Airbnb, and it's, like I said, if you're a big-time skier, it's not worth the trip just to ski. But anyhow, so that's your travel trip. What do you have planned for ringing in the new year, Nick?
Hanging out.
All right.
Hanging out. Just relaxing.
Just relax. Shannon and I are heading up to Boston. We're going to a ball tonight.
Yep.
Yeah, it was hard to find a ball that was like over 35.
Yeah.
You know, I'm all about anti-aging, but I do not want to ring in the new year with 20-year-olds. That's
right.
Just a different culture altogether, right? But anyhow, folks, Happy New Year. I hope you have a beautiful holiday week. So I wanted to reflect because I was doing some reading, as I often do, and I ran into some people that were critical of the whole notion of anti-aging. And those who are critical of it are sort of, how to put this, guardians of the status quo. That's a good way to put it. Now we have a debate going on, and it's going to heat up, about health care in this nation. What should we do going forward? Do we keep current systems in place? I maintain that the entire conversation is premised on the wrong language. We're not talking about health care, folks. We're talking about sick care. There's a huge difference. Healthcare has been largely abandoned by medicine, politics, and the public at large. Healthcare is what you and I talk about every week here at Intellectual Medicine. It is the essence of staying alive, staying young, staying vital. That's health. Health is not merely the absence of disease. It's the presence of robust energy and abundant life in every capacity. Your brain, your muscles, your independent physical function, how well you move, your sexual vitality, all of these elements weave together and create what we call health at Intellectual Medicine. Now let's look at your sick care. Your insurance is there in the unfortunate event that you become sick. And it should be there. It has its role to fill. Unfortunately, people have become so dependent on that model of medical delivery that in some cases, they use it to define that which is good and worth doing. So think about it for a moment, Nick. Doesn't it make sense to treat people in a preventative way to save money to the healthcare system at large? Isn't that, wouldn't it be better for insurance companies to pay for medical weight loss, to pay for anti-aging services, things that keep you healthy? Wouldn't it make sense?
Yeah, it's better to prevent than try and backtrack.
Okay, but here's the flaw in that premise. And I led you right into it, Nick. Thanks for cooperating. We know that preventative health costs money. It does not save money. The only thing that has been shown to save dollars to insurance companies, flu shot. That's it. One thing. That's it. Everything else costs money. And when you do things to keep people alive, young, and healthy, the insurance companies know that. They know that it's going to cost them dollars. They also know that they're not going to receive any benefit because people change insurance every couple of years. So if I'm sitting there up at Blue Cross and I know that if I go out there and I aggressively market weight loss medicine and I'm going to cover it aggressively, it's going to cost me dollars. My premiums are going to go up. It can't be sustained. Folks, we need to take it upon ourselves. It is our choice how to live. And it is our choice whether or not to intervene with the aging process in a way that will keep us vital and younger. Now, the critics will say, oh, there's no proof. You should just use prescription drugs. They're the only thing the FDA has validated as proof. Nonsense. Proof exists in the outcomes we see every day at Intellectual Medicine. Proof exists in your individual result. And you know how you feel, and you know what comes next. What comes next? I'm sitting here at 57, Nick. I know what comes next. 58, 59. I'm looking forward to them. They're all going to be great years, you know, because I'm an active participant in that which I espouse. The reason I was up there skiing and bobsledding is because I can. My body lets me do that. And it's a choice. It's a choice we all can make. And I'm calling on you all to make that choice for younger, healthier living. If you're listening to me and you're thinking, man, you know, sometimes I just get tired. I get home at the end of the day, I'm exhausted. But hey, I'm getting older. If you perceive any of these symptoms as a consequence of aging, you may be short. No, not maybe. You are shortchanging yourself with regard to a possible remedy. I tell the story often. And do I have time? Can I tell the story? So one of my motivating elements, I was practicing medicine in a more conventional way many years ago. And I had a patient of mine. He was 85 years old. And he was suffering with terminal lung cancer, stage 4. And I, at that point, had been accumulating all of my intellectual medicine knowledge, and I was applying it all to him. And I asked him a question. I said, how's your breathing? And he looked at me and he said, Doc, the only time I get short of breath is when I'm making love to my wife. He started, I almost fell off my chair. Guy's 85 years old, and he has that kind of vitality. Nick, do you know that he passed away 2 months later?
Wow.
And the point is not that he passed away. It's that he lived every day up until the last drop. And I took away from that experience, if he can do it, I can do it, you can do it, we all can live that vitally, regardless of what comes next. Hey, you know, nobody gets out alive, but it's how we live that matters. So how do we get there? Well, we know there are institutes studying anti-aging. We know that they're actively researching methods to slow the process, to slow down the degradation of your cells. On the end of every cell in your body are things called telomeres. Think of a squid with its tentacles. And every time that cell divides, the tentacles, or the telomeres, shorten a little bit. And when they reach a certain degree of shortening, the cell dies. That's called apoptosis, cell death, pre-programmed. We know that if enough of those cells die, we die. So the focus, one of the areas of focus, has been on telomeres. How do we prevent those things from shortening faster than they need to? Well, certainly stress is one of the things that accelerate degradation. Inadequate nutrition accelerates it. Excess adiposity accelerates it. So in our practice, we're focusing on cellular medicine. If you have healthy cells, you have a healthy body, it's more resilient to all sorts of calamities, including cancer, heart disease, and dementia. So telomeres are a key element of anti-aging. The other thing we know is that the hormones fade as we get older. Now, anti-aging medicine, intellectual medicine, is not the same as simply replacing hormones. That's an important part of it. We need to do that. You will either replace your hormones, folks, or you will suffer the consequence of their absence. Make no mistake about it. I got more to talk about. We'll pick up the hormone conversation right after this break. I am Dr. Steve Pettirudi. This is Intellectual Medicine on WPRO, the voice of Southern New England. Yeah, baby, the doctor's giving you the news. It's Dr. Pettirudi, Intellectual Medicine, and the news is that in Rhode Island, you know, we have some great things happening in the state, and intellectual medicine is one of them. I want to finish my thought, though, about the hormones, then I'm going to flip to some of the great stuff happening in the state of Rhode Island and why you should feel great being a Rhode Islander in the most fantastic city state in the country. We are, Nick, we're not really a state. We're a city state. And the more we can embrace that, I mean, I love the township identity of Rhode Islanders that we have, I don't know, about 82 different little towns. And some people criticize that approach. I think it's kind of charming. And some folks have said, boy, maybe we should lump them all together. Wouldn't it save money? It's nonsense. You don't create efficiency by taking a bunch of little inefficient principalities and lumping them into a bigger one, right? Bigger is not always better. Bigger sometimes enables totalitarian thought to infiltrate. What does that mean? Totalitarian is when they want to control not only what you do, but what you think. Folks, in medicine, we are fighting a wave of totalitarianism. Medicine is being dictated more and more from the top down. Now, we've talked on this show about the HPV immunization mandate, the fact that the state is forcing us to take a drug that many of us disagree with is part of that totalitarian mentality. We are in favor of an intellectual interpretation of medical information, for that matter, of all information. The internet age is what has created intellectual medicine. You know, in the old days, you'd go to see the doctor and you'd sit behind a huge book, a book you did not have, and would tell you what to do. And you had no means of validating or assessing that advice. Now you do. Every time a thoughtful patient is given information by a doctor or a nurse practitioner, they're going to Google it. And well, they should. And they're going to research it. And they should. And read about it and have conversations with their doctor. That's all good. However, many doctors find that to be annoying. Just do what I tell you. Oh, that anti-aging medicine is all hokum. Those bioidentical hormones are dangerous. You know what's dangerous, folks? Getting old without them. Let me give you an example. Suppose you went to see your doctor and you said, gee, doc, you know, I'm feeling kind of tired. And I've noticed I'm starting to gain weight. And, you know, my skin's really dry and my hair's falling out. And the doctor did a bunch of tests and he said, well, you know what? Your thyroid's not working properly. And you'd say, well, that's great. You can give me thyroid replacement hormone and I will feel better. And the doc turned to you and said, well, no, we don't do that. You see, it's natural for the thyroid to wither as you get old. This is just aging. You need to accept it. That, folks, doesn't that seem ridiculous? Now, I maintain the same standards should be applied to sex hormones. You go to see a doctor, you're getting a little slow, a little tired, brain's not functioning as sharply. Why not replace what we know is missing? In the bioidentical hormone replacement approach, we analyze symptoms above all else. Remember, your symptoms drive decisions, not blood work, not saliva testing. The blood work has merit in validating outcomes. You put the hormones in, and guess what happens? Your bones aren't going to wither. You know, here's the thing. I'm going to pivot for calcium. Study in 70 to 92-year-old people on calcium supplements showed increasing rates of dementia in the people taking calcium. Now, these folks already had some degree of brain vascular disease, what they call cerebrovascular disease, meaning aged arteries in the brain. And the researchers knew that because they gave them CAT scans of their brain. Here's the problem if you're listening to me from where you stand. You don't know if you have that or not, unless you go get a CAT scan. And if you're above 50, odds are there's some present. Furthermore, calcium supplements have never been shown to prevent osteoporosis, fractures, and bone thinning. Never. And in men, there are studies that indicate or correlate calcium intake to increased prostate cancer risk. So think about all those people out there taking calcium. Yeah, I'm doing good for my bones. I'm taking my calcium. It's false comfort. Not only does it not help your bones, but it could do harm. What do we do instead? We know your bones are going to thin. Guaranteed, 100% guarantee. I give you 100% guarantee your bones are going to thin, that you're going to shrink in height, that your skin is going to sag, that your muscle is going to shrink. 100% guarantee unless you replace what is missing. In our practice at Intellectual Medicine, everybody at some point in their lives will be introduced to hormones. The issue is when, how much, and which ones. Testosterone is critical for men and women. There are more testosterone receptors in your brain than any other organ in the body, and without testosterone, your brain will slow down. You will become less sharp. Your memory will be impaired. And there are studies correlating replacement of hormones to a decline in the risk of dementia. It is very probable that the brain needs hormones to stay healthy and to help fight dementia. And while we're on the topic of dementia, it is not, folks, a genetic disorder. Dementia is an environmental disease, by and large. Now, there are some rare instances of genetically induced dementia. To date, they have not found the singular gene that causes dementia. I don't think they ever will. We know that multiple traumas and insults to the brain accumulate over time and manifest themselves decades later. We talk a lot on the show about lead, and well, we should. It is one of the primary brain killers. Trauma to the brain certainly has an impact. Alcohol, excessive alcohol, chronically consumed, can have an impact. Lack of adequate vitamins, lack of adequate diet. And now we have research that shows excess fat shrinks your brain. They did a study and they looked at folks the same age with different percent body fats. And the folks that were obese had brains that were 10 years older than the lean people. They did that based upon imaging studies that showed the brain was shrinking more rapidly. Now that just makes sense to me. We know that obesity causes or leads to increased risk of cancer, heart disease. We know that it degrades sex hormones, increases the risk of erectile difficulty, sexual dysfunction. In other words, it affects every organ of the body. Why should it not affect your brain? We have the solution. We've discovered it. We've invented it. We propagate it. We'll talk about that as well. But next, Doug Lazette from the Seascape News Center. Doug, the voice of news in WPRO Southern New England. I'm Dr. Pedderudi. We'll see you after the...
News Talk 630 and 99.7 FM WPRO presents Intellectual Medicine with Dr. Pedderudi. Join Dr. Pedderudi as he guides people towards living the 120 lifespan while retaining youth. He'll apply logic, reason, and scientific evidence to address conditions that drain people of their joy and vitality while protecting people from the harmful aspects of conventional medicine. Now, here's Dr. Steve Pedderudi.
Hey, gang, I am back. It's Dr. Steve Pedroti. This is Intellectual Medicine with my friend Nick behind the glass. We're enjoying the holiday weekend. We are here live and local at WPRO. Intellectual medicine means the freedom to think and act and keep yourself young, fit. If you make that choice, we'll guide you towards it. We're just talking about the value of hormone replacement, and it's our strong belief that everybody should be on hormones. They should be bioidentical when you need them. In women, that's much younger than in men. Women can manifest a need as young as their, in some cases, late 20s and early 30s. Hormones that drop first in women is often testosterone when menstrual cycles are still normal. And without the testosterone, the energy, the sex drive, the mental clarity start to fade, and the ability to maintain body weight starts to become more challenged. There are hormones that direct where fat goes, and one of them is called hormone-sensitive lipase. In essence, without adequate hormones, your body will funnel the food you eat to grow more fat cells rather than toward your vital organs and muscles, and that accelerates adipose accumulation. So yes, intellectual medicine and anti-aging requires hormones to be replaced at the right time. And done properly, the risks are minimal and the benefits are abundant. So we're just talking about reflecting on things in Rhode Island. You know, I'm really happy about these new businesses coming to Rhode Island, Nick. They're trying to promote Rhode Island as an intellectual hub. And I just think it makes sense, right? We're a small, compact state with a highly intelligent populace.
And nobody likes to give us credit for it, but we have smart people here.
Really smart people.
A lot of smart people.
And really smart people here. You know, when we were opening up intellectual medicine, Shannon and I were at a national conference of anti-aging. And we went to a group of doctors who were promoting a franchise called Body Logic that we were contemplating getting involved with. And they said to us, we will not support you in Rhode Island. It's too backward. The people there don't get it. And we looked at each other and we said, do they know the folks we know? Because we don't think that's true. So we went ahead on our own. And by golly, it's been a robust success. Why? Because Rhode Islanders are smart people and they get it. And they know what we're doing there is fantastic. By the way, folks, we do have the IV drip bar, the most advanced, safest, and most professional IV vitamin infusion, certainly in the state of Rhode Island, probably throughout New England. We have standards of sterility that are on a level with oncology outpatient drip wards. We know that because that's what we modeled it after. That's what you deserve. And today we're going to be open between 9 and 12. You can get the Wingman drip. This is an IV infusion full of antioxidants and high-dose glutathione that will protect you against toxic effects from extended activities, extended nights out, you know, staying awake later than normal is a stress on your system. Having alcohol can be a strain. Even people who have modest alcohol, sometimes they don't feel so sharp the next day, and that can be a consequence of toxic accumulation, and this can help to neutralize it. So we are not promoting nor advocating reckless and excessive drinking. What we are supporting is the right of adults to make their own best choices and to do that responsibly. And the Wingman drip is part of that. Our center is open at 9 o'clock this morning, Intellectual Medicine in Warwick. It's 921-5934. And, speaking of bright people in Rhode Island, Nick, you know, I like that we're focusing on intellectual development of high tech. I think it's going to work. You know, and you got to be positive, folks. Let's not immediately react negatively because the people promoting a position may not be of the political persuasion that we favor. I like what's happening in Rhode Island right now. I want them to build that Fane Tower. We need more of those cool residential places. So folks like you, Nick, will say, you know, I'm going to stay here in Rhode Island. I don't need to go to Nashville. I don't need to go to San Francisco. Rhode Island's happening. And what makes people want to stay in a location? Quality of life. Now, it's kind of cool we're bringing in big corporations, but I want to highlight the kids down at URI who won a national competition. They beat Boston University. They beat Virginia Tech. And they beat Johns Hopkins in a marketing campaign competition under the guidance of their professor, Christy Ashley. And the students were Allison Plunkett from North Kingston, Tara Larson from North Smithfield, Samantha Valenza from New York, Taylor Burns from Cranston, and Christina Chimitru from North Smithfield. They deserve an accolade. And you know what, Nick? Some of the smartest kids in the state are at URI and Rhode Island College.
Yes, they are.
It's where bright kids with a modest budget and the savvy to avoid crushing debt head off to get their education.
And it's what you make out of your education.
Amen.
It's what you make out. It's not always what you pay.
That's right. You don't translate dollars into intellect, right? So when they talk about Rhode Island being an intellectual hub, I want to see Rhode Island College, I want to see URI, I want to see Community College of Rhode Island put in that equation. It's not just Brown and RISD, folks. We have brilliant kids all over the state, and they're the ones that are going to make businesses and grow the state up, and they're the ones that are going to help revive this economy. That's more important to grow up your own entities than it is to recruit them from out of state. You don't have to give tax incentives. You just got to put a little food and water on it and watch them grow. So anyhow, that's my segue and highlight of beautiful things in Rhode Island, one of which is intellectual medicine itself. I'm Dr. Pederuti. Stay with us. We'll be right back after this short break. Yes, folks, it is a revolution. The revolution of healthcare. The first person who will live to be 150 is alive right now. I don't know. I don't think it's me, but they're alive right now. You know, why do we call it intellectual medicine 120? Well, we believe in the 120-year lifespan. 120-year lifespan. Doesn't that sound nice? You better be ready for it because it's happening. Well, I suppose you could do things in a reckless manner that will abbreviate your life, but it's your choice. And, you know, it doesn't make you a bad person. Folks, let's not judge. Let's just love each other. That's right. Somebody smokes and drinks and lives recklessly. It's their prerogative. It's their life, not yours. So we choose to live long. We choose to pursue that as our goal and live young. And with that gift of long life comes the opportunity to do good for others. That's a cool thing. But you're not going to get there following the traditional path. You've got to preserve your brain. You know, there's a writer's examination found 3,000 areas of the country with lead issues greater than those in Flint, Michigan. 3,000 areas with lead greater than in Flint, Michigan. Lead causes brain damage, period, end of story. Lead is a 100% toxin. There's no amount of lead known to be safe, none. If you have lead in your house, it's a hazmat area. You have to go in there with masks and suits. Oh, but you can drink it in your water. That's just fine. Do you know?
It's a twisted system.
We ignore inconvenient facts when the cost of addressing them would be overwhelming. So the EPA, Environmental Protection Agency, creates what they call a threshold of acceptable lead. Now, our acceptable threshold is zero. We don't think you should have any. You know what they're doing now? They're debating whether or not to put threshold levels of lead in lipstick and makeup. I know you're thinking, why do they put lead in there in the first place? It's toxic. If it's going on your lips, it's absorbing into your bloodstream and then being deposited into the cells of your bones and of your tissue. And here's the problem. Your doctors don't talk to you about this because they don't believe that it matters. I disagree. They can test your blood and it will not show up in any significant amount because the blood transports the lead and deposits it in the tissue and in the bone. 90% of the lead gets stored in the bone where it stays effectively for the rest of your life, slowly rotting your brain, corroding your arteries, along with other heavy metals like cadmium, increasing your cancer risk. Maybe that's part of the reason why women get more dementia than men. Not only are they exposed to lead, but they suffer more as their hormones decline. 3,000 areas in the country with lead levels greater than Flint, Michigan. And you know, we're in the Northeast. How old do you think those pipes are bringing water to your house? The makeup it's in, the foods it's in. Now, the point isn't to make you paranoid and have you move to Canada and try to get to a more pristine environment. It's that we have to address this. At Intellectual Medicine, we test for it. We test for it by doing a provocative study that pulls the metal out of your cells, filters it into the urine, and we can test the urine, and it'll give us an estimate of the total amount of lead burden in your body. And here's the wild card. Nobody can tell you what the threshold is. Nobody can look at your lead level at age 30, 40, 50, 60 and say, you'll be fine when you're 10 years older. That lead level will not harm you. So we take it upon ourselves to make rational approaches to try to reduce the lead in your body. Now, I promised you that I'd tell you some of the things to avoid in modern medicine that will cause you harm. Okay, one of them is joint replacements. Do not get a joint replaced. I'm going to talk about your knee and your hip unless you see me first. Now, I know that's a bit of an arrogant statement to some of you, but we are, in intellectual medicine, the only place I'm aware of that has successfully addressed arthritic bone-on-bone disease through a combination of successful weight reduction, antioxidant supplementation, and in some cases, hormonal support. We have seen that success in individual cases to the extent that we feel everybody should have that opportunity. I had a woman who came to see me to get preoperative weight loss before her knees were replaced. She lost 100 pounds, went on our supplements, and canceled the surgery. We don't get many referrals. That's just not good for business. The other thing never to do not get gastric bypass without seeing us. It's a deforming surgery. It's a ridiculous approach in most cases to address a medical disorder, a lifetime adverse consequence, malnutrition, micronutrient malabsorption, bone thinning, brain rotting, and fatal to some people. Some people die in the midst of surgery. Two drugs to avoid: fluoroquinolones. What are those? Those are antibiotics like Cipro, Levaquin, Avalox. These antibiotics were thought to be a godsend, and they are important and valuable. However, even the FDA now has come out with a warning about disabling and permanent side effects: tendon rupture and pain, muscle pain, hallucinations, confusion. Now, folks have been talking about these symptoms for years, and their doctors ignored them. Doc, ever since I had that round of Cipro, my muscles ache, and they were blown off. Well, it turns out, as usual, the patients are right and the doctors are wrong. Those drugs should be reserved along with non-steroidals. If you're taking Advil, Motrin, other drugs every day for pain management, beware. These are dangerous drugs that increase heart attacks and cause gastric bleeding in many cases. So we'll be back after the next break with some more updates. We're going to talk about who should get a colonoscope, should you get one, and why is Canada different from the U.S.? I'm Dr. Pederuti. This is Intellectual Medicine. Hey, gang, I am back. This is Dr. Pederuti. Thanks for listening on this beautiful New Year's Eve morning. Hope you guys are all looking forward to an enjoyable weekend. Nice 3-day weekend. You get to watch football games if that's your thing, or ignore them if it's not. So we're left talking about colonoscopies, this procedure that enables doctors to look inside the colon and determine whether or not cancer is forming. In Canada, they came out with a recommendation that no colonoscopies should be performed. They didn't feel that the risks outweighed the benefits. Their recommendation was for stool testing for people between the age of 50 and 74. They now have the capacity to test the stool for DNA remnants of cancer, and they can pick up early cancer through non-invasive testing. It's an emerging technology. You can ask your doctor about this. It is covered by most insurances in many cases, up to a certain amount. And if it's not covered, it's relatively inexpensive, and it is an alternative to colonoscopies. In Canada, they made this decision. Now, what's different about Canadian colons and American colons? In the U.S., the recommendation is that every 10 years, in the absence of other risks, a colonoscopy be performed for folks between the ages of 50 and 75. Now, here are a couple of facts that can bother you. One, why do they stop at 75 bothering to screen? Well, it's because they presume you're too damned old, you're going to die anyhow, so why waste the money? I take exception to that. At Intellectual Medicine, we advocate the 120-year lifespan. You hit 75, baby. You're just getting started. So, yeah, you should continue to screen. Why? Because the risk of cancer goes up as you get older. The number one risk for just about every form of cancer out there is age. And that's because of the accumulated toxins over time, as well as a dip in your immune system. Now, before you run off and get your colonoscopy, it's worth reflecting on. Here are a couple of variables, and there's no easy answer, folks. In Rhode Island, we are ground zero for cancer. It's true that we are one of the leading per capita cancer states in the country. It has something to do, perhaps, with a lot of industrial residue over the many decades of the Industrial Revolution. We're still suffering with the remnants of it in our soil and our air. It may have to do with the fact that the prevailing winds blow toxins from the Midwest over to the Northeast, and we breathe them in. It may have to do that we live on top of radon deposits. Whatever the variables, it's a true fact. Consequently, some of these recommendations should have the Rhode Island asterisk next to it. Maybe we should be more proactive. Colonoscopies are worth considering. Now, I had one done at age 50. I'm now, as I mentioned, 57. I'm not sure if I'll do another one. What I've found out since is that there are 18 million colonoscopes done in the U.S. every year. There's a 2% complication rate. That translates into 360,000 complications or 1,125 complications every day. Now, some of those complications include perforation or poking a hole in the colon that can lead to infection and require aggressive treatment. So these are not benign interventions. Anytime a doctor puts anything inside your body, you need to give it serious thought and reflection. On the other hand, it can be a life-saving intervention for some. So how do you make those decisions? Well, I do like these non-invasive stool testings. I think they can pick up more information. And in the new year to come, we're going to be talking about what's known as a blood biopsy. There is technology currently available that can look for remnants of cancer cells in your blood before they ever appear clinically. We'll be talking about those in the year to come. In fact, in the year to come, we have lots of exciting things in store, folks. We invite you to call us, either WPRO or call my office at 921-5934. Let us know what topics you're most interested in hearing about, and we'll make it a focus for one of our shows. We also have a new feature coming up in 2017. We're going to highlight local farmers and local farms because food is medicine, and we want to know where the best sources are. If you're listening to the show and you're a farmer, a local farmer, give us a call. We'd like to hear from you. We'd like to come and visit your farm. We understand what you're up against. The corporate farms are crowding out a lot of local resources, and they're manipulating the rules to make it more favorable, or that is, to give them a marketing advantage. So, folks, we've had a great time this year, our first year in existence. Thank you for listening. One of Rhode Island's leading voices of intellectual medicine. Next year, we'll be introducing the Pederuti Method in Massachusetts for weight loss. So stay tuned to the station every Saturday morning, 8 o'clock till 9. I'm Dr. Stephen Pederuti. On behalf of Shannon and Nick, wishing you all a beautiful and happy new year. Up next, Tony DeJesus live with the Big Blue Bug Solutions. Have a great holiday. Yeah, yeah.